Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse number 5. Jeremiah 1, start reading in verse number 5, reading down through verse number 10. I'll read as you follow along with me, please. Verse number 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And then go with me to chapter 20, please. Jeremiah chapter 20. And let's read in verse number 7. Verse number 9. Jeremiah says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to hold a copy of your word in a language that we can understand, that we can read. Lord, I thank you that we have your Holy Spirit indwelling us as your children. Lord, convicting us of our sin, guiding us into truth, drawing us closer to yourself. I pray tonight that we would come with a heart of humility before you, a heart that is repentant, Lord, a heart that is ready to hear your Spirit's voice tonight, and that we would answer, we would be obedient to you. I pray you'd accomplish your perfect will in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for its power. Tonight, would you please use it to do your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Part of my Bible reading schedule has been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and actually just yesterday I finished it, now into Lamentations, which is also written by Jeremiah. And you may often find that as a pastor or as a preacher will preach, they may preach on things, we may preach on things that God is actively doing in our hearts, in my heart. And honestly, a preacher really shouldn't preach something that God hasn't already been working on his heart in. Oftentimes, I feel as if God works in my heart far more than anybody else, and I'm thankful that God works in my heart. And that's the way it should be. When you open up the Word of God, that you are desirous, that you are longing for God to accomplish something in your heart, that you wouldn't just read one of the major prophets or the minor prophets or any portion of Scripture and think, you know, I've read this before, this is kind of boring, this is kind of dry, but that you would actively, seriously pray and seek the Lord to accomplish something in your heart every time you open it. Even when you're reading through the generations and going through those different generations in the book of Numbers and various other places where you find those, ask the Lord to show you something from His Word every time that you open it. We believe that God's Word is powerful and God is able to accomplish His perfect will. And as I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, God has been working in my heart and various other devotionals that I've been reading and then sermons that have been preached. And even down at the youth conference, God used some things to just kind of reemphasize what I've been reading. And I'm thankful for people like Jeremiah, that stood for the Lord in a day where he was not accepted. And we really realize that Christianity is not the accepted thing sadly, in this country of Canada. We really live in a very broken society. A society that says they know the way and we know that you should follow us. And unfortunately, their paths always lead to destruction. As we look at Jeremiah, we begin looking here into the writings of one of the most persecuted prophets of the Lord. If you could somehow try and think with me what it must have been like to have had very little of the written words of God. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have everything that we hold tonight. We are greatly blessed in that, as Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Yet not even Peter had the completed scriptures. We hold in our hands tonight the complete canon of the scriptures. We have the entire copy of the written words of the Almighty God. May we treasure them greatly. May we, as David, who didn't hold the entire scriptures, love the law, love his testimonies, love the very word of God. We hold something very dear to us. Here in the days of Jeremiah, he was a man that was called of God to be one of his prophets. He was a man that would both foretell and foretell. Foretelling being that of predicting the future, of telling what is to come. To foretell is what a preacher would do in this pulpit, and to proclaim the word of God. There really is no greater calling than to be the servant of the Lord. You say, I could never be a preacher. I could never be a pastor. But can you be a servant of the Lord? I believe we all can. And I challenge you and encourage you to see how God wants you to serve Him and see where you are serving Him. There is truly no greater calling than to be His servant. Yet for Jeremiah, it would mean much rejection, many hateful words and actions towards him. He would endure multiple imprisonments, some even including the sinking down into the mire of the pit where he would most likely starve to death. Sadly, it would take a dear Ethiopian woman, not even one of his own people, to spare his life by confronting the king. Dear friend, if you sit here tonight thinking that the path of following the Lord Jesus is an easy one, you're greatly mistaken. It's not an easy path to follow. Yet I do say with all of my heart tonight that there is no greater path to follow than that of following the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Charles Ryrie, Jeremiah is often, this is all a quotation by Charles Ryrie, Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet or the prophet of loneliness. Jeremiah had been commanded of the Lord not to marry. Jeremiah began his ministry at about age 20. It's amazing what some people are doing at age 20 now, wasting their life away, missing out on the promises, the blessings of God. Yet at age 20, Jeremiah would answer the calling of God in his life, at first serving underneath King Josiah, with whom he enjoyed a good relation or cordial relations. After Josiah's death, opposition to the prophet mounted. He barely escaped arrest, was forbidden to go to the temple, and had to deputize Baruch, his secretary, to deliver his prophecies. King Jehoiakim destroyed Jeremiah's written predictions, which Jeremiah would have rewritten. King Zedekiah permitted nationalistic-minded nobles to imprison Jeremiah. Then he would reduce his punishment. Sensitive and sympathetic by nature, he nevertheless was commanded by God to deliver a stern message of judgment. The opposition he faced was cruel and crushing, so much so that more than once, he wanted to resign from his office as prophet, yet he continued faithfully to proclaim God's word. As we go through this message tonight, I've kind of split the message in half, and I think you'll be thankful for that as we go through it. I'm planning on finishing this message on Sunday, as Pastor is supposed to be away through Tuesday. So Lord willing, tonight we'll go through the first point, and Lord willing, on Sunday, we'll go through the second point and conclude it. So that is my plan. Hopefully, as the Lord would lead, that's how we'll go through this message tonight as we make application here from Jeremiah's testimony of standing for the Lord. Continuing on with a couple with another quote, the Open Bible has this statement to say about Jeremiah. He was a heartbroken prophet with a heartbreaking message. Jeremiah labors for more than 40 years, proclaiming a message of doom to the stiff-necked people of Judah. Despised and persecuted by his own countrymen, Jeremiah bathes his harsh prophecies in tears of compassion. His broken heart causes him to write a broken book, the book of Jeremiah. When was the last time, let me ask you tonight, your broken heart for our nation led you to your knees in prayer for the healing of our land? This great country of Canada, it may not be your home and your native land where you're from. It's not my native land, but I'm thankful that God is allowing me to live here. And God has given me a great heart for this country, and I hope God has given you a great heart for this country that you now call your home. Canada is made up of so many different people groups, and I'm thankful for the multicultural church even that we have here in the city of Burnaby. But I truly hope that you spend much time praying for this nation. This nation needs revival. This nation can truly see a revival, but it's going to start in your personal life with a brokenness and humility of sin. We as a church corporately praying together and asking and begging and pleading with the Lord to have mercy upon us as we so greatly need it. I hope you daily spend time in prayer for our land. When was the last time your knowledge of the future? You say, I'm not a prophet. You sort of are because you have Bible prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And if you believe this is truth, if you believe this is the Word of God, you, in a sense, I'm not saying that you could foretell the future, but God already has for us. When you have the knowledge of the future of mankind and God's just wrath, when is the last time that has led you to proclaim the gospel and His word? I'll be the first one to raise my hand that I have failed God so many times. And yet I know the end of the book. I know that the lost will perish in the lake of fire for all of eternity. We rejoice in the victory, and that's a great thing, but don't forget what's going to take place before that. As those that maybe you call a coworker today, or you call a friend today, or you call a family member today, will never hear the gospel message out of your mouth, out of my mouth. We will fail in accomplishing the task that God has called us to do. And they will one day enter into the lake of fire. We know the future. We know the destiny of mankind if his life does not change by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah was given a great calling. It was a difficult one, but as we see the burning passion of Jeremiah, may we say, as he said in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, I could not stay. I could not stay. Jeremiah had come to this point in his life where he was so discouraged by all that surrounded him. Nobody wanted to hear his message. Nobody wanted to be a part of what he had to say, though it was the message from God himself. Jeremiah said, and we'll talk about this more on Sunday, but he says, I had decided that I would not speak anymore in his name. I would not make mention of him. But he said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. It's amazing that many Christians today can sit around and do absolutely nothing for God when we know the message of the Lord. When we have the spoken, the written Word of God in its entirety. And yet many are doing absolutely nothing to proclaim this message. In Jeremiah chapter 1, if you'll go back there, Jeremiah chapter number 1. In verse number 1, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, Jeremiah 1 and verse number 2 now, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. In verse number 4, we see a phrase similar to that of which verse number 2 says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. This phrase, the word of the Lord, appears in 51 verses throughout the book of Jeremiah. A similar phrase, thus saith the Lord, appears in 147 verses. It is clear that the message of Jeremiah was not about Jeremiah. It was not about his feelings. Many people today will say, well, this is how I feel. It was not about his viewpoint. Some may say, this is how I see it. It wasn't about his perspective. When you look at it this way, it was not about his opinion. Here's what I think. Not his philosophy of life. Well, I believe this. What do you believe? Not about his political standing. All I can say is, and it's not about his popularity-driven character. Popular survey says, remember from Jeremiah, it was the message from God. This wasn't Jeremiah just woke up this morning and this is how he felt today, so this is what he preached. He preached, thus saith the Lord. And dear Christians, I trust you pray each week, you spend time praying for your pastor that he would stay right down the line preaching the very words of Almighty God. Because when the Bible is dismissed from the church, you ought to politely dismiss yourself from the church. We must stick to the Bible. We must stick to the Word of God. We don't need to follow the trends, the things of the contemporary day in which we live in. May we stay faithful to this book. We have the complete canon of Scripture. Jeremiah did not. And yet Jeremiah was obedient in proclaiming the Word of God. In a socially driven world craving acceptance and popularity, we must realize that God's Word is still our foundation and the message we proclaim. Jeremiah was obedient to God's call. How about you? Are you obeying God's call in your life? Firstly, tonight, as we look into this message, the call of God is specific. The call of God is specific. God, first of all, calls people. God calls people. Since creation, God has called people. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2, if you would please. Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 15. Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Or in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We see here the command given by God to Adam, to man. Turn to Genesis 6, verse number 5. Genesis 6 and verse number 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on this earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And then we see one of the greatest verses in the Bible, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God would then speak to Noah. The Bible says in verse 9 that Noah walked with God. In verse 11, or verse 12, it says, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God speaks to Noah. It says, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come. Verse 13, come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And of course, Noah is given his calling, really one of his callings in his life, to build that ark, but even more so to preach righteousness, to preach repentance. And chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, of course, we see the calling of Abram, who would eventually be called Abraham. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. God begins to make the promise to Abram that he would make of him a great nation, and through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And how thankful we are for that today, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to be our Savior. Our loving God is a God of relationships with people. Back to chapter 3 and verse number 8, Genesis 3 and verse number 8. It says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." A time that Adam and Eve had once enjoyed was when God's presence would come into the garden and they would fellowship with Him. Sadly, when sin entered the world, it brought shame, and they would then hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 8, Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 8, it says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." You don't need to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Our God is a God of relationship. You have a personal walk with the Lord? You spend time with Him every day? Do you walk with God, or you say, "I'm saved," and that's all? How far does that take you in your life? When the Bible says Enoch walked with God, when the Bible says Noah walked with God, could that be a description of you tonight, that you are walking with the Lord? Since creation, God has been calling people. God is a loving God of relationships. Thirdly, He's called us at salvation unto Himself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 13. Jesus says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." God calls us at salvation. Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12 says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called unto you His kingdom, called you unto His kingdom and glory. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." God called us unto Himself at salvation. God continues that call to the lost, that maybe you're even in this room tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. God's calling you. And this is another opportunity that God says, "Now, come to salvation now. Come and be saved now." Fourthly, God calls us to a walk of holiness. A walk of holiness. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 7. Sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 7. It says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And then a few pages over, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse number 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 9. Paul writes to Timothy, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That holy calling, the calling unto holiness, to walk in His works. Fifthly, He calls us to serve Him and to take His message to others. As Paul wrote in the book of Romans in the introductory statement, he said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." called to give the gospel, called to preach the gospel as an apostle. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22 to verse 24. First Corinthians 7, verse 22 to 24, it says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." Called to serve him, called to be his servant. So we see, first of all, the call of God is specific. Under that, God calls people. And secondly, God called Jeremiah specifically. Go back to the book of Jeremiah now. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. And what I want to do in this verse is kind of break down each statement very briefly as we go through. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says, "Before," and notice the phrase, "I formed thee." But even when you include that word "before," it's a very powerful statement. When you think about the fact that God was here before us, and the fact that God formed Jeremiah, the fact that God made you gives him the ownership rights as authority. Romans 9 and verse 20 and verse 21, it says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" And even in the book of Jeremiah, we see that Jeremiah speaks of God being the creator. All throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, we recognize that God is creator. And anybody that says that it's never claimed in the Bible, it's clearly there, and it clearly specifies the authority that God has over this universe as the creator. And so as God formed us, first of all, it gives him every right over us and the one that made us. But greater still, he saved you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see that we have been bought with a price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God knew Jeremiah, and the fact that he formed thee, he says, "I knew thee. Before I formed thee, I knew thee." We don't get to know what a baby looks like until it's born. I mean, you can kind of get a rough idea through ultrasounds, sort of. Those don't really show a whole lot. But you think about the fact that God knew Jeremiah before he had even formed him. Before he had even started to develop and grow inside of his mother's womb. But even after the forming, he makes a statement, "Before thou camest forth." God sanctified Jeremiah. He said, "I have sanctified thee." To think how God dedicated, or God consecrated, or God hallowed the life of Jeremiah, and God had specific plans for the life of Jeremiah. We'll touch more about it on Sunday, but think about the precious place of the womb of the mother and how it's one of the biggest places that's being challenged today. And yet it's the place where God already has a plan for every child that is born into this world. Parents, I hope you look at your children and understand God has a plan for their life. Children, I hope that you look at yourselves and say, "God has a plan for my life." Adults, I trust that you look at your life and say, "God has a plan for my life. He had a plan before he ever formed me. He had a purpose." And the Bible says of Jeremiah, he says, "I ordained thee." That is to give or to appoint, to assign, to charge. The great calling of God in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah replies to God's calling. In verse number 6, he says, "Ah," or the exclamatory phrase or statement that is of wonder or pain, sort of in the way that we would say, "Oh," and be shocked at something, or in the sense of that's not me, I can't do that. And he begins to excuse himself from the task. He says this, "I am a child, I cannot speak." Reversed order. "I cannot speak. I am a child. So, I can't go. I can't do what you're asking, God, because I'm just a child." And how many times do we look at our life and say, God, I'm just at this. God, this is my past. This is who I was. This is who I am. This is what I have to offer. And God says, that's fine, I'll use it. If you're willing. We can't change the past, but God can work from the past and take us out of that past and change our future and use us for His glory. He says, I shall send thee in verse number 7. God would give him the message. It says there in verse number 7, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God said, I'm going to give you the words. Don't be afraid that you're a child. Now, we understand that Jeremiah wasn't a child. We've talked about how he was at least 20 years old when he was called. I don't believe that's a child. Sadly, today, some people think that you're still a child when you're 20 years old. That's time to grow up. And it's time to take recognition that, hey, God has a purpose for my life. I trust that you pray for the young people of our church. I have a great desire to see our teens in church on a Wednesday night, to see our college students in church on a Wednesday night. I know that's difficult for some, but I'll tell you, some probably are not even working and doing other things right now. And we really need to see the young generation walking in the way of the Lord for their life. And I hope you spend time praying for them, because if God doesn't get a hold of their heart, the devil's going to. Jeremiah had a purpose. He wasn't going to be accepted, but he had a purpose. God said, I have a plan for you, Jeremiah. Don't be afraid. I will be with you. Jeremiah did not go with a full Bible in hand and preach on a topic using a verse as a launching point. He went and he preached the Word of God as God had commanded him to. God said in verse number 9, I have touched your mouth. I have touched your mouth. You think of Isaiah, when Isaiah had that vision of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. A vision that would change the life of Isaiah. And Isaiah would claim that I am a man of unclean lips. And if you remember, the angel would take the coal and would touch his mouth. And he would be a prophet for the Lord. And he would prophesy about 80 years before the prophet Jeremiah. Isaiah would prophesy what is going to come at the end of Jeremiah's life. And Jeremiah would step forward and he would say, the judgment is here. Isaiah was prophesying the future. But God used both of them. God touched their mouth. I must say tonight that God has touched all of us in some way to do His work. Some God has touched and you are not doing His work that He has given to you. We won't take time to look at them specifically tonight. Pastor taught on it, I think this year sometime, but the spiritual gifts, prophecy, ministry or the gift of helps, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, the gift of giving, ruling, mercy. These can be found in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, we see that it's been given to every man, every person. We've all been given the spiritual gift. We've all been touched by God in some way. And I ask you, what are you doing with the spiritual gifts, with the touching of God upon your life? You say, I was saved. That's all the touch I needed. No, God has touched you to do so much more than just be saved. Jesus said to the disciples, He says, I have so much greater things for you to see. Don't be satisfied with just a moment of salvation. Grow in your walk with the Lord and say, God, I'm ready to do more. God, put that fire in my heart that you had in the heart of Jeremiah that said, I could not stay, but I have to go and I have to do the work of the Lord. God gave him his task. Verse number 10, he said, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. It's kind of like a toddler entering somebody's house and just smashing everything. Maybe if you had children, you can relate to that. Destruction. There's something about in the heart of a boy that just wants to destroy things. I don't know what it is, but I'm thankful that there's more to this verse. It's not about just destruction and judgment and wrath. But he closes it out. He says to build and to plant. Build and to plant. God's message was one of judgment, yes. God's also a merciful and gracious God, ready to restore, ready to build, to plant, to work in your life and the lives of others. A broken prophet, called of God with a great calling. Jeremiah was obedient to the task God placed before him. How about you? Have you heard God's call on your life? Are you getting yourself in your secret place where you can listen early to God or clearly to God speaking to you through His Holy Spirit and His Word? If you need to, slow your life down and spend some serious time with the Lord and listen. A lot of people say, I work too many hours, I'm too busy. Then you're too busy. You say, I have to work these amount of hours, I can't provide for my family. Maybe we're wrestling the wrong thing. Why don't you seek the Lord and let Him be the one to take care of it? I tell you, God continues to teach me about prayer. And I am longing with all of my heart to be involved more in ministry that is led by prayer, if you understand what I'm meaning. That's leading the way. I've served in this church now for just over 10 years, and I have made so many mistakes. Some of you have probably seen many that I've made. One of the biggest mistakes that I have made is I have not bathed my ministry in prayer like I should. As a youth pastor, many times, I'll be honest with you, I have failed because I haven't sought the Lord fervently like I should have. And I'll be honest with you, Anchor Baptist Church, we need to move forward for the Lord, but we cannot start without beginning with prayer. And it's not, Lord, bless this service. This is a weekly thing. This is a daily thing. God, we need your power. Let your life slow down a little bit and listen to the voice of the Lord. And see what God's calling is for your life. Are you here tonight and you don't even know who the Lord is, or you don't even know the Lord as your Savior? You can trust Him tonight. God has a calling on your life. Are you listening? Are you obedient? It may not be the accepted thing. It may not be the popular thing. But that's not what matters. What matters is that you'll say, I could not stay. Jeremiah, I had to preach. I had to do what God was calling me to do. You have a burning desire in your heart for God? You have a passion for the Lord? Sadly, at times, our labor for the Lord shows our heart and what we truly give to God. It shows where our heart is. Now, I can't stand here and tell you where you are, but I can tell you where I am. And I long to have such a greater passion for the Lord. If our heart is right with God, and if our view of who God is and what God is, the writer of Hebrews says, he that cometh to God must believe that, first of all, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Love the Lord with all your heart and accomplish that calling on your life. Sunday we'll finish this, but that first point is that God, or the call of God, is specific. God's calling you. God's calling you. Are you listening?